Welcome to the deep dive. We are so thrilled to have you here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone.
We're going to unpack a universally frustrating experience today, something that, almost everyone can relate to, especially if you happen to be a parent.
Oh, absolutely. It's a daily struggle.
Right. So picture this. You are standing in the middle of a grocery store aisle, right? Just staring at this massive wall of snacks.
The dreaded snack aisle.
Exactly. And you just want something simple, something relatively wholesome to toss in your kid's lunchbox.
Which shouldn't be that hard, right?
You'd think. So you reach for a box that's covered in these beautiful earthy graphics. The front says natural, it says wholesome. It basically promises you the world.
Yeah, the marketing is always spot on.
Always. But then you do the thing you're supposed to do, right? You flip the box over to read the
And
back.
that's where it all falls apart.
Completely. Suddenly, it feels like you're trying to decipher a complex organic chemistry textbook.
Right, yeah.
You're just looking for an afternoon snack, but you find yourself reading about refined sugars, glucose syrups, high fructose corn syrups.
And like a dozen emulsifiers you can't even pronounce.
Exactly.
Right.
So, our mission today for you listening is to explore a brand called Amorazero. They actually managed to solve this modern lunchbox dilemma by, well, completely ignoring modern food science.
Yeah, they went totally backward in time.
Right. They reimagined an ancient Italian tradition called Tyrone. So, okay, let's unpack this.
It's such a great story, too, because the origin of this brand, it's a perfect example of how massive systemic disruptions in an industry, they rarely start in a corporate boardroom.
Right. It's not a bunch of analysts in suits.
Exactly. They almost always start in a kitchen, you
Yeah.
know, with a very personal, very human necessity.
Yeah.
The overarching story here is about an Italian family, this couple who grew up in Italy during the 1970s and 80s.
Which was a huge time for American pop culture over there, right?
Yeah. Oh, massive. It was a huge export. So they grew up watching American television shows, listening to the music, reading letters from relatives who had already emigrated.
Just soaking it all in.
Right. And over decades, they cultivated this deep, lifelong dream of the United States. To them, the U.S. represented the ultimate frontier of opportunity.
But what stands out to me about their particular immigration story is that they weren't, fleeing hardship.
No, not at all.
They had actually built a very comfortable, stable life in Italy. They had a successful business, a strong network of friends and
They
family.
had essentially achieved the Italian version of the dream.
Right. But then, after years of waiting, they had a daughter.
And that changes everything.
It really does. The birth of their child became the catalyst. That latent childhood dream of America just flared up again.
Yeah.
They decided that the comfortable ceiling of their life in Italy, it wasn't going to be the ceiling for their daughter.
Which is incredibly brave.
Wildly brave, they sold the business, packed up their stability, secured their visas, and just completely uprooted their lives to move across the Atlantic.
That kind of leap of faith requires an immense amount of conviction. I mean, according to Angela Porta, who is the sole authorized public spokesperson for the brand,
Right.
he says this deep, family-driven desire to provide a better, more expansive life for their daughter, that is the foundational DNA of the entire company.
It wasn't just a slick business plan.
Exactly. Amorazero did not begin as some strategy looking for an open market segment. It began with parents looking for a solution to a problem that hit them right in the face the moment their daughter started school in the U.S.
Which brings us right back to the lunchbox dilemma.
Yep.
They needed a practical snack for her to take to school, something that tasted good enough that a kid would actually want to eat it, but made with ingredients they could recognize as actual food.
And that's when they hit that grocery aisle wall we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Almost everything marketed toward kids, everything that actually looked appealing, was secretly packed with industrial sweeteners and synthetic shortcuts.
And the snacks that did have a clean label.
They usually tasted like cardboard. Her daughter would just bring them home untouched, sitting at the bottom of her backpack.
I mean, to really appreciate the magnitude of this problem,
Yeah.
we have to understand the manufacturing realities of the modern food industry.
Right, because it's not like companies are just trying to be evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The reliance on ingredients like glucose syrup and highly refined sugars, it isn't born out of some malicious desire to feed people unhealthy food. It's purely about the mechanics of industrial scale.
It's just cheaper and easier.
Right. Glucose syrup is incredibly cheap to produce. It acts as a powerful preservative, you know, extending the shelf life of a product by months or even years without it crystallizing.
Wow.
But most importantly for a factory, It is perfectly obedient.
Obedient. That's a great word for it.
Yeah, it behaves the exact same way in batch number one as it does in batch number 1,000,000, regardless of the temperature or humidity in the facility.
So it's an ingredient designed for the machine, not for the human body.
Precisely.
So faced with this wall of industrialized, obedient snacks, this family realized the answer wasn't going to come from a modern food lab.
No, they had to look backward.
Right, into their own cultural heritage. They started searching for a traditional Italian sweet they grew up with, and they landed on Turrone.
Which is such a classic.
It is! For those of you tuning in who might not be familiar, Turrone is an ancient Italian nougat, and the historical blueprint of this dessert is beautifully simple.
It really is.
It relies on just three whole ingredients, honey, almonds, and egg white.
It's an incredibly elegant, historically significant recipe. The earliest versions of Turrone date back centuries. Often reserved for nobility or special celebration.
Because it was so pure.
Yeah, because it relied entirely on the natural bounty of the land. The sweetness came purely from the labor of bees, and the substance came from the seasonal harvest of nuts.
But the tragedy here is that when this family looked at modern, commercially available Turrone in the grocery stores,
they realized the industrial food machine had corrupted that ancient blueprint, too.
Yeah. The vast majority of modern versions were just packed with cheap glucose syrups and refined sugars.
The industry had basically taken this noble, ancient confection and turned it into cheap, mass-produced candy just to cut costs and speed up the manufacturing line.
They stripped the soul right out of it for the sake of efficiency.
They really did.
Which pushed the family to make a pivotal decision. They decided they were going to rescue it.
I love that.
Yeah, they wanted to recover the original soul of the Turrone using only natural honey, but adapted into a modern, everyday snack that could survive a lunch dock.
Which is way harder than it sounds.
Oh, absolutely. Here's where it gets really interesting. They couldn't just rent a commercial kitchen in the U.S. and start whipping this up.
Right.
When they tried to find the right machinery and expertise to make a pure honey-only nougat on a larger scale, they hit a total brick wall.
Because the entire food manufacturing infrastructure is built around those obedient syrups I mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
The physics and chemistry of working with raw, natural honey on a large scale are fundamentally different from working with glucose syrup.
Because honey is, what's the word, hygroscopic?
Yes, hygroscopic, meaning it absorbs moisture from the air. Its composition literally changes based on the season, the type of flowers the bees visited, and even the ambient humidity in the room.
That sounds like a nightmare for a factory.
Oh, it is. If you are off by a fraction of a degree in temperature or a minute in cooking time, the honey reacts unpredictably. The Turrone becomes rock hard and shatters.
Oh, wow.
Or, conversely, it becomes a sticky, unmanageable mess that completely gums up the cutting and packaging machines.
So you're dealing with a wild ingredient instead of a domesticated one.
Exactly.
And that wildness explains why it took them an astonishing 16 months of obsessive trial and error.
16 months.
Yeah. They actually had to partner with a small artisanal lab back in Italy just to figure out how to tame the recipe. 16 months just to swap a modern industrial syrup back to ancient honey.
That time frame is a testament to the friction between artisanal craftsmanship and industrial efficiency. You simply cannot rush raw, natural ingredients without destroying their integrity.
Right.
I mean, a standard modern industrial batch of candy or nougat, utilizing all those artificial shortcuts and syrups, it takes about 40 minutes to cook from start to finish.
40 minutes. Okay. And how long does the MR0 method take?
Their traditional method requires an incredibly slow, low-temperature cooking process that takes a full 5 hours for a single batch.
5 hours compared to 40 minutes. That is a massive operational commitment.
It really is.
The obsession with getting the honey right is really only half the story, though, because the honey is essentially just the glue for the absolute star of the recipe, which is the almonds.
Oh, the almonds are incredible.
The final recipe they landed on is remarkably clean. It is naturally gluten-free, lactose-free, and non-GMO. But what is truly staggering is the density.
Yeah.
Over 60% of the snack is composed of whole almonds.
And the preparation of those almonds is another critical departure from modern convenience.
They don't just use whatever's cheapest, right?
No, they don't just order pre-roasted nuts that have been sitting in a plastic bag in the warehouse for 6 months, losing their flavor and oxidizing.
Right, right.
They leave the nutrient-rich skins on the almonds, and they roast them specifically for every single production lot.
And they fold those freshly roasted almonds into the honey and egg white mixture, while the nuts are still warm.
Which makes a huge difference.
I can just imagine the sensory experience inside that Italian facility. You know, the smell of warm toasted almonds merging with the heating honey.
It must smell amazing.
Oh, I'm sure. By folding them in warm, the essential oils from the almonds are released directly into the honey, creating a completely unified flavor profile.
And they solve the sticky finger problem too, right? For a child eating this at a school desk?
Yes. They finish the snack with a brilliant, ultra-thin wafer.
Right.
It's completely natural, made just from potato starch, a little oil, and sunflower lecithin. It creates a dry barrier so you can hold it easily.
It is a masterclass in utilizing natural food mechanics to solve practical packaging problems.
Totally. But I do want to pause here and address something crucial.
Sure. What's that?
Because as we dive into these ingredients, the brand name itself begs a major question. The company is called Amore Zero.
Right. Amore Zero.
Amore is obviously Italian for love, referencing the profound love for their daughter that started this whole journey. But the word zero feels contradictory at first glance.
How so?
Well, if the entire premise of the product is that it's packed with natural sweet honey, why call it zero?
Yes. It is the most common point of confusion surrounding the brand, and it really requires absolute clarity.
Yeah, lay it on us.
Zero does not mean zero sugar. The product is absolutely categorically not sugar-free.
Right, because honey has sugar.
Exactly. Honey contains naturally occurring sugars, primarily fructose and glucose, so it's sweetened with honey. The zero in Emmer Zero stands specifically for what they spend 16 months fighting to remove.
The industrial stuff.
Yes. Zero refined sugars, zero glucose syrup, zero corn syrup, and zero artificial sweeteners.
Hmm.
No added refined sugars at all.
Okay, but let me just ask this. Under U.S. FDA labeling rules, the honey used in this recipe is legally required to be listed on the nutrition panel as an added sugar.
True.
So if these parents uprooted their lives and spent over a year in R&D partly to escape the added sugars of the modern grocery store, why is a snack sweetened with honey any different than the corn syrup they were running away from?
That is exactly the question modern nutritional science is trying to answer. And it brings us to one of the most vital concepts in understanding human digestion, the food matrix.
The food matrix. I've heard this term. This argues that a calorie isn't just a simple calorie, right? It's about how the food is physically packaged by nature.
Precisely. What's fascinating here is that the human body doesn't just receive isolated nutrients in a vacuum.
Right.
When you read a nutrition label, it gives you a two-dimensional spreadsheet. This many carbohydrates, this much protein, this much sugar.
Just a list of numbers.
But that label completely fails to tell you how those elements are physically structured together in the actual three-dimensional food you're chewing.
Oh, I see.
The architecture of the food fundamentally alters how your body processes it.
So the physical form dictates the biological response.
Let's visualize this with an analogy.
Yeah.
Imagine pouring a glass of water down a smooth, empty PVC pipe.
Okay.
It flushes straight through, hitting the bottom instantly. That is essentially what happens when you consume an isolated, refined liquid sugar. Like drinking a soda or eating a candy made of pure glucose syrup.
Right. It just zooms right through.
The sugar hits your digestive system immediately because there's absolutely no physical structure holding it back.
Makes sense.
Now imagine taking that same glass of water, but this time you pour it onto a dense, complex sea sponge that has been tightly packed inside that pipe.
The water still gets through eventually, but it has to fight its way down.
Exactly. It has to navigate the complex physical cellular structure of the sponge. In the case of Amore Zero, the honey isn't just sitting there by itself waiting to be instantly absorbed.
Right, because of the almonds.
Yes. It is tightly bound and incorporated into a very dense physical matrix made of over 60% whole almonds.
Wow.
And those almonds are incredibly rich in complex plant proteins, dietary fibers, and natural fats.
So eating honey that is locked inside this dense architectural wall of almonds, it completely changes the mechanics of digestion compared to just eating refined syrup on its own.
When you consume a robust food matrix rich in fats, fibers, and proteins, it naturally demands much more time and energy from your digestive system to break it down.
So it's literally physically harder to digest.
Right. Those structural elements from the almonds naturally slow down the entire digestion process. Because your body has to work harder and longer to dismantle the matrix, it can help increase your overall sense of satiety.
Keeping you feeling fuller for longer.
Exactly.
That distinction is so vital for us to understand as consumers. It means the physiological experience of eating this turon is completely different from eating a gummy candy or a highly processed cereal bar, even if a spreadsheet of carbohydrates looks somewhat similar at first glance.
Right, you can't just look at the numbers.
We really have to look past the simplified label and respect the physical architecture of our food.
Which brings us to the final hurdle this family had to clear.
Oh.
They managed to preserve this complex architecture, right? They kept the pure honey and the warm almonds. But they still had to solve the form factor.
Oh, right. Because traditional turon is notoriously difficult to eat casually.
Exactly.
Anyone who has ever been gifted a block of traditional Italian turon around the holidays knows exactly what you mean.
It's basically a weapon.
It is. It is objectively delicious, but it's often rock hard. You practically need a chisel and a hammer to break a piece off for your guests.
Yeah, you really do.
It serves beautifully as a holiday centerpiece, but it is a terrible format for a Tuesday afternoon snack in a cafeteria.
But through that grueling 5-hour low-temperature cooking process, AmraZero engineered this traditional recipe to be soft and pliable.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They successfully modernized the delivery system without compromising the ancient recipe, packaging it in perfect, individually wrapped single portions.
And they also expanded beyond the original almond and honey profile, right?
Yeah, they developed an entire lineup using only natural flavors.
Alongside the original, they offer an orange flavor, a lemon flavor, and a vanilla flavor.
And the logistics of the whole operation are seamlessly international now, too.
How so?
The snacks are meticulously crafted during those 5-hour batches back in the artisanal lab in Italy, and then they are distributed directly online across the United States from their headquarters down in Palm Harbor, Florida.
That is just a remarkable full-circle journey.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it speaks volumes to the current landscape of food innovation.
It does.
If we pull back and look at the big picture today, you know, we see billions of dollars pouring into laboratories with companies trying to invent completely novel synthetic ingredients to solve our dietary problems.
They are trying to engineer their way out of a crisis that industrial engineering created in the first place.
Exactly. They're essentially creating new, supposedly better chemicals to replace the old chemicals.
But this family story proves that sometimes the most profound innovation is actually an act of restoration.
I couldn't agree more.
It is about having the courage to strip away the cheap industrial shortcuts that have systematically crept into our food supply over the last 50 years.
It's an unengineering of our food system.
Yes, unengineering, returning a classic dessert to its pure artisanal roots.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is deeply moving to think that it took a parent's love, just that primal universal instinct to protect and provide something better for their daughter, combined with the sheer determination of an immigrant's journey to finally figure this out.
Yeah, they looked at a uniquely modern problem, they looked backward into their cultural past, and they painstakingly built a bridge between the two.
And because of that effort, a kid sitting in a cafeteria in the U.S. can open their lunchbox and pull out a snack that is deeply rooted in ancient Italian tradition.
Entirely free of modern refined syrups.
And actually tastes amazing. So what does this all mean?
Well, I think it leaves us with a truly compelling question to ponder as we walk down those grocery aisles.
I would love to hear it.
We've seen what happens when you rescue something like turon from the grips of industrial food processing. It makes you wonder, how many other ancient traditional foods are out there right now, hiding in plain sight on our supermarket shelves, just waiting to be stripped of their heavy, refined shortcuts and reimagined for our daily lives today?
Wow. What else have we lost to the convenience of the factory that we could easily bring back if we just took the time?
Exactly.
That is a fantastic thought to leave you with today. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks, everyone.
We always love exploring these intricate stories with you, and we hope you found this unengineering of an Italian classic as fascinating as we did. Until next time, take care.